I'd like to turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8. Jeremiah, chapter 8. We'll read verses 20 through verse 22. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Jeremiah preached during the time when the southern kingdom of Judah, because of sin, was facing the certain judgment of God. He preached in a manner that exposed their sin. He pleaded with them to repent and to turn from their idolatry, cry out to God to save them from the approaching doom. The overall message of Jeremiah was repent and turn to God. And if you do not, a pending doom is inevitable. He preached this message repeatedly for over 40 years. The book of Jeremiah records the messages of Jeremiah. During this time, while Jeremiah was preaching, others were preaching a contrary message, a message of peace. Notice in verse 11, "For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly." That is, they made him feel good, saying, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. We read in Jeremiah chapter 5 that the people love to have it so. Now our text is part of Jeremiah's sermon that began back in chapter 7 and continues through chapter 10. From chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, we see that it was a message that was preached as the people were going into the house of the Lord. And he begins chapter 7 by rebuking them, proving them sharply for their sin and their unbelief, and he gets very specific. In chapter 8, he opens with speaking of the terribleness of the consequent impending judgment of God. So the context of our text is that of a pending doom because they would not repent. Impending doom from enemy armies that would destroy them, carry them into captivity. But Judah had been convinced by others and by themselves that somehow everything would be okay, that judgment really would not fall upon them. There were the ever-threatening enemy forces threatening to wipe them out, but the people believed that help would come from some other country, perhaps from Egypt. But coming to our text, verse 20, the time of what they were expecting to happen had passed. And their hopes of relief, their hopes of deliverance had vanished away. Now what we read here in verse 20, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved," really is a proverbial saying, and therefore it has much wider application than just to the Jews of Jeremiah's day. The application is to any who would dare trifle with the message of God. We want to take the message today from that statement, we are not saved. It is a statement in the negative. In other words, it is a statement of gloom. It is a statement concerning something that would be harmful, that would prove to be adverse and detrimental to the individual. We want to speak this morning on a terrifying negative. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. What they are saying is this: another year has gone by, and we still are not free. No one has come to our aid. And what we read here in chapter 8 is history, yet it is recorded in the Word of God because there are many spiritual parallels. There are insights into human nature. Human nature does not really believe that judgment of God is coming. There are insights into human attitudes. There are insights in how man is before God, and how man resists, and how man reacts to the Lord. How easily man is deceived into believing that all will be okay, and how he even deceives himself that somehow it'll be okay with God. In this message, we want to make spiritual application of these words, we are not saved. And we want to speak directly to the unsaved that are here. And I pray that you would pay close attention, because I'm not talking to you about something that does not matter. I'm not talking to you about something of minor importance, but something that is urgent and pressing. The most urgent and pressing thing in your life. I'm talking to you about your soul. A soul that will never die. Talking to you about your eternal destination. If you're unsaved, look at those words. We are not saved. Make it personal. Put it in first person singular. I am not saved. Is that you this morning? I am not saved. There are various categories of the unsaved. There are those who are unsaved, but you're really not concerned about it. There are those who are unsaved, but think they are. They have convinced themselves that they are. And there are those who are unsaved, and we pray that this would be the case, that are concerned. It ought to concern you today. I am not saved. That ought to concern you. It ought to be of deep concern to you. First of all, consider the need of salvation. Why is it needed? Why do men need to be saved? Well, the subject of salvation is necessitated by the fact that you were born in sin. There's nothing you can do to change that. You were born in sin. Psalm 58 verse 3 says that you were estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. So salvation is necessary if you're here and not saved, because you were born in sin. It is also necessitated by the fact that you are a sinner by nature, by practice. That is declared and presented all through the Word of God. We read in 1 Kings 8, verse 46, 2 Chronicles 6, verse 36, there is no man that sinneth not. There are no exceptions other than Jesus Christ. In Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20, there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Isaiah 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Isaiah 64, 6, we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. Romans 3, verse 9, all are under sin. Romans 3, verse 10, there is none righteous. No, not one. Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Salvation is necessitated because you are born in sin and because you are a sinner. Salvation also is necessitated by the fact of what sin is. So you are a sinner. What does that mean? What's the big deal? I am a sinner. Again, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin there is put in the context of the glory of God. You must not view your sin in the context of others. You must view your sin in the context of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? Well, it's who God is. View your sin in light of who God is. God is pure. God is faultless. He is perfectly good. God is holy. He is righteous. And as such, He hates all sin. He absolutely loathes everything that is contrary to His perfect holiness. But not only that, He demands absolute perfection and will accept nothing less. Sin is going aside from the thoughts, in our thoughts or in our deeds, in our words, from who God is and what God says in His Word. It is a crime against God. Sin is a crime against God. You commit a crime against society, you can expect to be punished. You commit crime against God, would you expect any different? It is an uprising. It is a rebellion. It is a revolt against God. That's what every sin is. It is striving and contending against God. It is a defiance of God. And we read, "For all have sinned. All have broken the laws of God. All are criminals against God, and opposed and risen against, and have rebelled and revolted against God." Do not be mistaken. All sin is against a holy, almighty, and just God. And it is the most loathsome, the most vile, the most filthy, the most wicked, the most grievous, the most shameful act that a human being can commit. The subject of salvation is also necessitated by the fact of what sin does. Sin brings damnation from God. It is declared in Galatians 3. Verse 10, cursed, that means damned or doomed, is everyone that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Unsaved sinner, listen to God's word. You have sinned by breaking the holy and perfect law of God. You sin by not being in perfect compliance with the law of God. And as a result, you are under the righteous and just curse and condemnation of the law. The God's sentence upon the sinner, cursed. The desperate need of every sinner is salvation from sin and from the curse that is due to sin. The desperate need of every individual is to be set free, to be released, to be loosed, to be rescued from sin and the curse that is due to it. It is stated in Galatians 3, verse 11, after we read in verse 10, cursed, no man is justified by the deeds of the law in the sight of God. In other words, there is no stopping, there is no averting, there is no preventing, there is no deliverance or escape to be found in the law of God from the sin and curse due to sin. But thanks be to God, there is a way. There is a way of deliverance from this menacing and dreadful curse. It is declared in Galatians 3, verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? Being made a curse for us. The remedy is Christ. In Christ, there is hope for the lawbreaker. There is hope for the cursed. Because Christ met the demands of the law that you and I could never meet, no matter how hard you try. He suffered the penalty of the law. He did so fully. Christ bore the brunt of the threat of the lawgiver and the weight of God's displeasure and indignation. There is a Savior, Christ. Yet we read these words, we are not saved. There is a Savior. We are not saved. This is a terrifying condition. Not saved. We want to speak a little bit on that condition. I must ask, is this your condition today? Is this your condition? I am not saved. Is that your condition? Let me help you answer that question. Has there ever been a time and place in your life when you personally didn't just hear about it, but you personally came under the power of the Spirit of God, and He caused you to see and to feel the reality of the fact that you were a violator of God's holy law, caused you to see and feel how loathsome, how vile, how wicked and shameful your sins are, causing you to feel the weight and guilt of your sins, filling your heart with sorrow and remorse over sin, causing you to see and feel the danger that you are in, causing you to see and feel your great need, and bringing you to a state of utter helplessness, causing you in distress of soul to call out to Christ to save you. I'm not talking about did you say a little prayer, causing you to turn from your sins, turn from your ways, and whatever you were trusting in, fleeing to and laying hold of Jesus Christ. If that has not been a personal experience, those words, not saved, are you today. If there's not been a time and place in your life when you personally experienced the almighty power of God bringing you out from under the control, the entanglements, and the imprisonment of sin, then these words today, not saved, they're you. They're you. Does that concern you? It should. There's never been a time when you personally experienced spiritual life imparted to your soul, an actual passing from death unto life, the chains and shackles of sin being broken and being lifted out of the depths of sin. If that has never happened, then these words, not saved, they describe you. They describe your condition at this very moment. So I've got to ask, have you personally experienced Jesus saving your soul. Has there been a time and a place when you personally experienced the deliverance, the delivering and liberating power of Christ? Has this happened in your life? It either has or hasn't. There's no almost here. Can you say with absolute certainty? Can you say with absolute assurance, the Lord saved me? The Lord saved me. And you can go back to a time when He did. If not, those words, not saved, that's you. That's you right now. Read those words, not saved. Read them again, not saved. Read them again, not saved. Is that you? If it is, I pray that those words would grip your heart and your mind. Not saved. Is this you? I remind you, you have a never-dying soul that must be saved, that needs to be saved. Not saved. What does that mean? What does it mean? Well, it means that you are a sinner and rebel against God, a transgressor, a criminal against God, and you are without a Savior. That's terrifying. It means that you're still in the bondage, the misery, and the imprisonment of sin. And you're sinking deeper and deeper into the destruction of sin. It means that you're still in your sin. It means that you are still under the power of darkness. It means that you're under the dominion and penalty of sin, which is cursed. It means that right now you are unacceptable to God. You are bankrupt of any merit before God. It means that you have all of this sin, but you have not been forgiven. And you have not been pardoned. That means that you are in the guilt of your sins, which means you will answer for your sins. It means that you are on a road to destruction and eternal misery. Not saved. Is that you at this moment? Not saved. If it is, you need to know this. It is possible for you to die in that condition. What does that mean? It means that you would receive, that you would spend eternity receiving the endless wrath due to your sin. Need to know this. Oh, I know. Just as it was here in Jeremiah 8, verse 11. There are those who say, You don't have to worry. God is love. You don't have to worry. There is no hell. And it makes you feel good. You find some comfort in those words. But you need to know that there is a place called hell. A place of God's everlasting and uninterrupted wrath against the not saved. A place of incomparable, excruciating, and piercing agony, pain, anguish, and misery for the not saved. We read concerning one of these individuals who died in this condition, Luke 16:23. And he lifted up his eyes, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. You realize that if you're not saved, that could be you today. Well, I feel good. I don't feel sick. Folks, healthy people die all the time. And in hell, he lift up his eyes. Everything seems fine right now. But in a matter of seconds, that could be you. In hell, he lift up his eyes. If you are not saved, you are in danger. You might die in that condition. Someone says, well, I'll take my chances. You don't understand a thing about this. If you're that foolish, you don't understand a thing about sin. You don't understand a thing about your condition. And in hell, he lifts up his eyes. That could be you at any moment. At any moment. So considering the eternal doom and the destruction that can fall upon you before this day is over. Those words, not saved. The very thought, I am not saved. That ought to frighten you. That ought to be chilling words. I am not saved. Those are words that ought to disturb you. Oh, people get disturbed when this subject is preached upon. They get disturbed at the one who's delivering the message. Here's what ought to disturb you. Not the message. What ought to disturb you is, I am not saved. That ought to disturb you. That ought to cause you anguish of soul. When that reality hits you, you can't sleep. You can't get away from it. It causes great discomfort. It causes trembling. I am not saved. That ought to alarm you. Oh, I pray that God would cause you to grasp the depth, the urgency of your situation. Not saved. If that is you at this moment, and there are people here that are not saved. Some of you know you're not. Some perhaps have been deceived into thinking they are. That's why we would challenge anyone. Make sure of your salvation. Make sure. This is not something you can afford to be wrong on. Not saved. If that is you, whatever other concerns you might have, whatever other burdens and worries you might have, this needs to consume you. I'm not saved. For there is no greater crisis. There is no greater danger. There is no greater problem than a sinner in his or her own sins. Don't be like the ones of the text and convince yourself that somehow you will escape the wrath of God. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Jeremiah had preached and they had heard. Day and night they heard. Day and night passed. Seasons passed. And we read of the people, we are not saved. And there are those sitting here at this very moment. You've heard the gospel preached time and time again. And you even sing the songs of redemption. But the days pass, the weeks, the months, and the years, and you're not saved. You come, and you leave, and you return again, not saved. Time is passing, and you're not saved. The time is passing. That means you're getting closer and closer to the end of your life. Closer and closer to the possibility. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Time passes on, and you're not saved. That ought to concern you. Jeremiah was concerned. Verse 21, for the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold in me. We're concerned. Concern for your soul. And we will continue to preach the need of your salvation. Well, Brother Dan, I don't want to hear it. Well, you're in the wrong place. And we only tell you because we are concerned. For those in our text, they had this testimony. We're not saved. Their testimony was, I'm not saved. No matter what else may be true in your life, you may be good at certain things. You may have promise in certain areas. But nothing changes this. Not saved. Nothing undoes that. Not saved. Why weren't they saved? The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we're not saved. Was it because there was no deliverance? Was it because there was no salvation? No, because Jeremiah in verse 22 in shock says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered. It wasn't because there is no salvation. If you're here today and not saved, it's not because there is no salvation. It's not because there is no Savior. But you reject God's salvation. That's what sinners do. They reject the salvation of God. There is a Savior. If you're here today and not saved, your condition is terrible. Your danger is greater than you realize. But there is a Savior. His name is Jesus. The one and only Savior for sinners. He is the one who can save your soul. He is the one who can rescue you. And if you ever will be saved and rescued, it'll be He that does it. Because He's the only one. He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer of the not saved. So here you are today. And you may have to say, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. And if that does not concern you, that shows how deep in bondage you are. How blinded you are. And if that does not concern you today, what makes you think that it will concern you tomorrow? Or 5 years from now, or 10 years from now. You may die unconcerned. I'm not saved. But because of Jesus, there's hope. There's hope for the not saved. Because you see, Jesus is prepared. He is qualified and He is equipped to save the not saved. In Him is the power to save. Well, I'm doing the best I can. Remember what it said, no man is justified by the deeds of the law. And we would encourage you to do the best you can. Be the best person you can be. Be the best citizen you can be. But know this. It will not save your soul. Not saved. He has the power. He has the ability. He has the means to save the not saved. Here's what every unsaved person here today ought to do. You ought to cry out to Him and ask Him to save your soul. If this concerns you, here I sit and I am not saved. Time is passing by. I don't know how much time I have, but I know I'm not saved. Does that concern you enough to cry out to the Lord? Lord, would you save me? Lord, I'm not saved. Save me. Save my soul. Cry out to Him. Trust Him. He bore the penalty. Trust Him. Flee to Him. Lay hold on Jesus Christ. That's your only hope. Oh, I pray that you would not leave here today not saved. Not saved. But that we would leave here saved. Saved. Don't lie down tonight. Not saved. Don't proceed. Not saved. Jeremiah was concerned deeply for the people. Again, those who are not saved, we are concerned for your soul. For your soul. I know He saved sinners because He saved me. I can read it in God's Word, but I know it's so because He saved me. I had no plans, and I wasn't even concerned about being not saved. But then the Lord came where I was, and He made me concerned. And if you are concerned about your soul, the devil doesn't do that. The devil isn't going to make you concerned about your soul. That's the work of God. Are you concerned? Are you concerned? I'm not saved. The songs that we sing have enough gospel truth in them to save your soul. Just the songs we sing. You've heard those songs sung. You've sung those songs. And you sit and you hear the gospel preached. And time is passing by. Are you saved? That's the most important question right now. Are you saved? You can be. There is salvation. There is a Savior. Are you saved? Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand, Brother Larry.